going for a bunch of hours, I think. So he might be getting ready to wrap it up at some point, but we're going to wait till we are up. Oh, there we are. That was quick. Beautiful. And today is, oh, let me get rid of that old pin number. I'll put up a new one. Today is May 16, 2025, and this is More of Less on FDJmedia.com. I just came up with that name. Les, if you can think of a better name, we certainly could put it up there if
I
or
don't
if you
know. It
like.
might be pretty iconic, Dave. I don't know. We'll let it go for a bit.
Okay.
Let it grow.
Whatever you want.
Oh,
All right. So this is, wow, I don't even know. Les, yeah. When did we first start the show? Do you remember?
no, it would have been before my sentencing, I think, Dave.
Okay, let's find out here. Let's find out. Oh, you did it. Okay, we'll talk about that. Good. Okay, and let's go to the replay. And it looks like, wow, it's been a while. I got to go to page two. And I think we've done every Friday, right?
Except for the one.
And what was that? Was that because of the election or?
Yeah, it was near the election, so
Yeah.
we put it off till election night.
Gotcha. Okay, so it looks like possibly the first one was on March 28.
Oh, so it was after the sentencing. Interesting.
And then we did April 4. Yeah, I think the first one was March 28. Yep. And then April 4. Okay. And then let's go back to the first page. And then April 18. Well, what happened to April 11? Oh, there it is. April 11, April 18. And then we skipped that Friday and then we did April 28. That was the election night coverage. And then we did May 2. So we've been going since, what was that date I said? March 28th?
28th, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. March 28, that was the last Friday in March. And then we've done the first Friday in April, and then the 11th, the 18th, we skipped the 25th, and we did that Monday the 28th, that was election night. And then we did the first Friday in May, which was the second. And of course the 9th and now the 16th. We're already halfway through May, Les. How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, it goes by pretty quick.
It really does. We were talking about that yesterday. Did you happen to see the Mason show yesterday?
I can't recall. I think I might have. I think James was sitting back in his chair pretty far from the microphone. You can still hear it.
Affect? Oh.
I think that was the show. I saw just
He
a
does that. He
little
does that every show.
bit.
He's allowed to, right?
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did that affect the sound
No, I was
dramatically?
going to say, I remember the one show he did that you asked him to sit closer to the mic,
Right.
but I think he made adjustments this time and pulled his mic closer to him.
Well, that was the
So
adjustment. I told him he's
he
got
can
to pull the mic.
recline now and he can still hear him quite nicely. So, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, so we were talking about time and wondering if time is actually moving faster.
Ah,
Did
I
you did
caught that bit of it. I caught
Yeah,
that bit.
what do
Yes.
you think?
I don't know. It seems like it's speeding up for me. It
Yeah.
seems like time just skates by like nothing. I don't know if it's because we're getting older. As a child, I remember people told me that as you get older, time goes by faster. I'm not sure
Yes.
if we get more patient.
I
So.
remember that too. Yeah, the elderly saying that, or those older than us, not so much the elderly, whatever that is, but yeah, so whatever it is, it seems to be flying by, especially over the last year or so. that, you know, you look at the, you know, you're okay, it's Monday, and then all of a sudden it's Wednesday, and then it's done. The week's done, and you're on Monday again. So I don't know, man. I don't know if it is, but it's odd. But we're here again, man, after a week. So we got a nice audience here already. I'm sure we'll hear from them soon. I'm going to put in the PIN number in a moment if anybody wants to call in from all over the world. And this weekend, I think we were talking before we went live, and this weekend coming up, a long weekend, you said?
It is. It's Victoria Day weekend in Canada, otherwise known as May 2-4 weekend, because Victoria Day generally is on the 24th of May. But, you know, obviously they adjust it, you know, depending on where the Monday falls. And the 2-4 comes from a 24 beer. So basically the May 2-4 weekend means people drink a lot of beer on May 2-4 weekend, right? That's what happens, or whatever they want to do. But, yeah, right. That's generally what it is.
Okay, so let me put this PIN number in there. And there it is. And, of course, if anybody wants to call, they go to ftjmedia.com and they click on the call-in button at the top right in between Get FTJ Pro and Banned by Amazon. And they can then find all the phone numbers that are applicable to where they live. I think almost every country is there. And the countries that aren't there, they don't have internet. I'm kidding. I don't know. Or phones or anything. Probably. I never looked into it, but there are some countries that aren't there. Not many, though.
Like North Korea.
Let me see, actually. Good question. Yeah, you're right. North Korea is not there. The closest is Norway. And I guess the big bad countries are not there, except Israel's in there, unfortunately. But Iran isn't there. What are some of the other bad countries?
I don't know, really. Usually a couple that you come to mind for me.
Libya.
China. Is China on there? Communist China?
I think China's there.
Yeah, you get a call from the Chinese, yeah.
Yep, China is there. Wow. It's a toll-free number, too. But Libya is not there. Iran isn't there. And let's see if Cuba is there.
Cuba
is not there. So it does have something to do with the less favored countries by the global elite. So pretty much all of the modern, recognized as modern countries are there. So, yes, even Estonia, because Henry has called in many times.
And you'll catch a call from Zimbabwe.
let's see. No, that's right. Zimbabwe isn't there. Let's see. You know that. Yeah. Let's see. Let's see if there's any African countries in here.
So we can't even get a cry for help from Zimbabwe then.
Unfortunately, no.
Wow.
Yeah. No. It sucks. It doesn't look like we can get any calls for help from any African country. Let's see.
South Africa.
That might be. But that kind of does not classify as Africa, right? Because it was settled by white men and women. Let's see. Wow. I'm glad we're talking about this because I never looked at it closely enough. South Africa is there. But it looks like that is the only African country. You've got the Gulf states like Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates. You got all of Europe. You got Vietnam. You got so you got the Asian countries. You just don't, and you don't have Russia.
Really?
Yep. You've even got Kazakhstan, but you don't have Russia. You don't have Tajikistan. But you've got Kazakhstan. I don't know. I don't know who put this together and why. That's a good thing to find out. I'm going to write that down. That's something I want to find out. Who put together that list? Who put together the call-in list? I'll find out. You should see the piles of paper here with questions and things to do. Okay, so Victoria Day, right? Yep. All right, hold on. Let's go here and here.
It's the first big holiday after winter, so it's, I think it's our biggest, I don't know, piss up, I'd say, in Canada that, you know, out of the whole year, it's the biggest one, I believe, besides, like, say, New Year's, right?
Right.
It's a pretty big deal here.
Wow. Okay, so let's take a look at it there, Les. And there it is, Victoria Day. All right. Fête de la Reine, celebration of the Queen. All right. The last Monday preceding May 25 to honor Queen Victoria, who is known as the Mother of Confederation. Wow, since 1845, originally on her birthday, May 24, falls on the Monday between the 18th and the 24th. And so always the penultimate, which is the one before the final, Monday of May. So this year it's May 19. Next year it's my birthday, 2026. And Victoria Day is a federal holiday as well as a holiday in six of Canada's 10 provinces. So it's not across the whole country.
Interesting.
And all three of its territories. Holiday has always been a distinctly Canadian observance and continues to be celebrated across the country. It is informally considered the start of the summer season. Okay, so here in the United States, the start, the official start of the summer season is Memorial Day. So it does kind of align with the United States somewhat. This year in the USA, it's going to be on the 26th. Yeah, May 26th. So this is the Monday. So it's the 19th. So it's this Monday coming up is Victoria Day. Has that changed the celebration of it, the recognition of it, the response to it? Has that changed since you were a young boy?
Not really. It's pretty much the same thing. We have fireworks and people get drunk on the weekend or spend time with their families. It's, you know, we get the Monday off, so we get an extra day of a weekend, right? So people will go away. They'll go camping on that weekend. A lot of times they'll travel a little bit, maybe go to a cottage. Generally, the weather is like kind of here and there on Victoria Day weekend. It's a little bit of rain, you know, a little bit of sun. You know, it's a mixed bag. The seasons are still fighting each other, right? So summer's not really here yet. But generally, the weather is pretty fair, though, so it's not too bad.
And you can see the dates, so it's always on a different date. And last year it was the 20th. This year it's Monday. Next year, the 18th, and the year after, the 24th. It's tough keeping track of this thing. So you guys just party the whole week, basically. is that what it is? It's like a week-long party?
Generally, yeah, we're supposed to wait till, you know, Friday night and then go till, you know, maybe Sunday night and take it easy on Monday because Tuesday's a work day. But, you know, people will do what they'll do.
Right. That's pretty cool. So with all of the immigrants, illegal and otherwise, pouring into your once great nation, Do these immigrants, does it appear that these immigrants recognize this particular holiday?
Well, they get the day off as well, just like anyone else does. So they'll find something to do with their time, too. I'm not sure how they feel about it. I'm not a monarchist myself. I'm a Republican. But, you know, I still enjoy the time off, right? I don't really honor the queen. And it was interesting to see that they wrote it in French, right? Fête de la Reine, celebration of the queen. Generally, I don't associate the people in Canada that speak French with being big monarchists here. You know what I mean? Like, they generally, they don't like the monarchy in Canada. They, you know, prefer to be without it. And they prefer to be Republicans as well, I think, too, right? So, yeah, it's just interesting to see that they would have, you know, chose to say that in French. It's pretty much the opposite of, you know, a monarchist being French, right? Basically, you have your British monarchists and you have your French folks who, you know, still remember that General Wolfe defeated them, right, back in the day. So there's a sore spot there, and they don't want to be ruled over by the British crown. So
right, yeah, of course. Who does? Yeah. Queen Victoria, boy, that's a beauty.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. Did she ever smile? You know, wow, on camera. Right? Yeah.
I wonder if that was a dude. Could have been a tranny, man.
Ooh. So she you was, I think her. What's that, Les?
It's a lot of strange things in this world, Dave. She may have been a man. Who knows?
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, or just an ugly woman. Of course, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but I don't know if I'd like to wake up.
Personality makes up for a lot, I tell you.
Yes, absolutely, right. Even Whoopi Goldberg has gotten laid. So, yeah.
Wow.
I think her reign was, what, 1837 to 1901? Is that right? Does that sound about right? It was a long
one. No, but it sounds it was a good chunk. You know, they went around the world and, you know, added to their empire back then or maintained it. And shortly after she died, it was, you know, about 60 years later, it was, you know, pretty much all over.
When they started giving
everybody their countries back.
Yeah, it's nice of them. So, yeah, she was born, of course, as you said, on May 24, 1819. And she took over when she was, wow. Look at that. She was 18. So she was 18 when she became the queen, and she passed in 1901. Her reign of 63 years and 216 days, which was longer than those of any of her predecessors, constituted the Victorian era, period of industrial, political, scientific, and military change in the United Kingdom, and marked by, as you mentioned, the great expansion of the British Empire. And then, wow, she got the title of Empress of India. So there she is. Let's see. Yeah, she was 81 when she passed in the Isle of Wight. She was born in Kent. She was born in Kensington Palace. And yes, there she is. And growing up, still not smiling. Nope, frowning. Yeah. Yeah, no smile.
Poor girl.
Yeah. Was she married? Let's see. I imagine she would have to be, right? Let's see. Spouse, Prince Albert of Saxe-Coburg and Gotha. Wow, they married in 1840. So 1840, get back here. So she was she was like 20, right? And he died in 1861. I guess she never remarried. Oh. And it doesn't look like she had any offspring. No, and she was a Protestant. There you go. So the beautiful Queen Victoria, 1837 to 1901. And she was succeeded by Edward the VII. And he didn't last long. He died in 1910. And let's see how old that poor bastard was. 68. And he was born in Buckingham Palace. And he died in Buckingham Palace. And he was succeeded by George V, And he lasted till 19. Yes. Yeah, not that long. And then succeeded by Edward the Eighth. And Edward died at 77 in 1972. So he was there for a pretty good time, pretty good chunk of time. So there you go. And of course, succeeded by George the Sixth. He didn't have that long of a reign. And then succeeded by Elizabeth. We know that she just recently passed. She was there for quite some time. And of course, Charles the Third, and there he is. And Charles Philip Arthur George. And there you go. He's still there. And the heir apparent, when he goes away, is William, Prince of Wales. He was born in 1982. So that's going to be the next king, unless something happens. So there you go. How about that?
There it is.
Yeah, a little lesson in a little lesson in who rules over us.
Yeah, rich people who don't work.
Exactly. Right, and who never worked a day in their lives. It didn't used to be that way. Let's see what's going on in the chat, my good man. We've got Thomas Dwyer is here. He says, good morning, good Dave morning, and Thomas. Les. Shameless Wiseass is here. He says, morning, Shameless gents. Wiseass. Yes. And I asked you before we went live if anything happened between the last time we were together and now, and you mentioned Victoria Day, and that's why we talked about that. But anything with the case or, you know, your job hunt or nothing. So
nothing. Just put a lot of resumes out, but I haven't gotten any responses yet. So we'll see how that goes. So let's keep up with that.
Yep. And how is the employment situation there in the Great White North?
Well, apparently people are supposed to be hiring, so I should be able to get a job pretty soon. We'll see how it works out.
What are you looking to do?
Just about anything, Dave.
Really?
I am a genius, but I don't really care what I do. I just want to make a living, just to make some money and, just keep busy.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
Like, well, trying to do other things on the side, too, like start a political party and things like this. But right now, I'll just be doing two things at once, right? So I'll be working and trying to start that. And even after I start working, I'll continue on with the other. So we'll see how it goes.
Did you apply for any machinist jobs?
Oh, I did.
Yeah. And nothing, huh? Even with all your experience.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they read the paper or something like that. They don't want to have that kind of headache, right? So we'll see what
happens. Oh, yeah. It's horrible having a hardworking guy, working for your company. Yeah, I don't blame him.
That sticks up for your country and, things like this.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see.
It's just not done. It's not done anymore.
Yeah. That's right. It's
that's right. That's right. So are there a lot of machinist openings in and around your area?
There are a few. There's a few in my town here. And there's a few in neighboring communities. I'm trying to keep it local because the price of gas is pretty high. So I don't want to, and I don't want to have to commute very far. I don't want to spend a lot of time driving. I want to work, not drive, unless I'm driving for a living. That's a different matter.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yes. And what is the price of gas there?
I think it was like $1.30 or something a liter Canadian. So four times that, right, is what a gallon would be. And then take off a bit of that for the exchange rate. So what?
Well, let's take a look.
So $5.20.
How much is a liter, you said?
About $1.30 Canadian.
$1.30.
Average. It might be a little bit more than that.
Okay, so that's
like $5.20 minus about 25%. So it's almost $4 a liter.
Yeah, 93 cents. Yeah. So wow. So a gallon and the liter is almost 4 liters is almost a gallon, right?
Yeah, 3.78 liters.
Right. So you're talking here. $5.20, actually more. Let's just say $5.50 per gallon. So you're talking, like you said, just about $4 a gallon for gas. Now down here, yesterday I got some, and the cost was about $2.70 a gallon.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. On my platform, I say we should have gas at 50 cents a liter, which isn't too far off what you're actually paying now.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like here, to tell people that is almost like telling them a fairy tale. Do you know what I mean? And that's your regular life down there. It's amazing.
Yeah, wow, yeah. Wow. Florida's pretty affordable with gas. So is New Jersey. I remember in the early 2000s going to a job, and the Sunoco had gas at 89 cents a gallon. So it was a good time, obviously, for gas.
Wow.
And it wasn't too long ago. So, yeah, this whole gas thing, it's rigged horseshit. You know, the same con artists who were responsible for that whole Enron scam are still around and still doing the same thing. So these politicians and regulators, they don't really do anything unless they're really forced to do something. It's always the same scum that are, you know, that they have their hands on the levers of power. And, you know, they rape us, obviously. Why is gas $4 a gallon in Canada? And you can cross the border. And, like, where's the closest border city to you?
Niagara Falls, New York, or Buffalo, New York.
Okay. So let's just see. Buffalo, New York, average.
And in Canada, when they raise the prices of gas, get this. It can be because there's too much gas in the supply or there's too little supply of gas, which causes the same outcome, the price to go up. How's that?
Yeah.
And especially right before a long weekend. I can't even imagine what it is right now, like this second. If I walked out the door and I went to the gas station, chances are it's like $1.40, $1.50 or something like that, just because the long weekend.
Oh, yeah. They ramp it up to rape you. Yeah.
They absolutely do that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. 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 And then they get away with it. Every year, they get away with price gouging.
They do every year. It's and people reelect the same people that are responsible for all of it because they believe the stories where they think that, oh, the price of gas is out of the control of the politicians.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what on Canadian soil is out of the control of the Canadian people or should be? The answer is zero, nothing. Everything should be, us to change as we wish to change it in our time on this earth, right?
If you were government, if it was a real government that
that's it. If I leave this country, Dave, it'll be different here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Average price now in Buffalo, Niagara Falls is just about $3 a gallon. So why is it that do you have like high taxes on gas?
Yeah, we do. We have all kinds of taxes. We have layers of taxes on things. And I don't even know what they all are. You know, there's a provincial tax, there's federal tax, there's the carbon tax. I think they took a bit of that off now. So basically, the carbon tax is just how they tax the air, right? Carbon dioxide. It's retarded. It's just absolutely stupid.
Wow.
I can't. Anyway, wow.
Wow. So here it is. Let me show you. Motor fuel taxes in Canada. All right.
I learned something here. I just kind of vaguely aware of it. Just
well, you know what? We all do. And that's a great thing about the internet, right? You can get answers. Hopefully they're accurate. But here it is. You know, by fuel tax rates across Canada. So there's a federal excise tax. There's a provincial territorial excise tax, a carbon tax, local fuel levy, and other things, other taxes. So if we look at where you're at, Ontario, all right, and this is cents per liter. So it's 10 cents per liter federal excise tax, about 20 for your province. And you can see that is the highest. Because the next closest is Nova Scotia, and of course, tied with Quebec. And there's 15 in Saskatchewan, Alberta. So you're paying already 30 cents more per gallon. There's no federal, there's a federal carbon tax across all of Canada. That's another 3 cents. And so this, I guess, total pre-sales tax? I don't know. Let's see if they have, and there's diesel. They get raped in, on diesel too. So let's see what we got here. On March 15, 2025, the government of Canada enabled regulations that set the federal fuel charge to zero. The effective date for the change was April 1 of this year. Affected provinces, you're in there. All right. Elimination of the BC carbon tax on April 1. Canada collects about $5 billion a year in excise taxes on gasoline, diesel, and aviation fuel, as well as another $1.6 billion per year from GST. I don't know what GST stands for.
That's the Goods and Services Tax. Now it's called the Harmonized Sales Tax.
It's called what now?
No. The Harmonized Sales Tax.
They use all these like new age.
Sound all night.
Yeah, right. Right. We're in harmony with the taxes. You know? Yeah. The Canada Revenue. What's that? Your dog stopped.
Like, hey, buddy, like talking to a puppy all night.
Yeah, right, right.
Before you take the food away from them.
Collectively, the provincial governments collect approximately $8 billion per year from excise taxes on gasoline and diesel. Holy shit. Yeah, well, 73% of the population in Quebec thought the taxes levied on fuel were too high, but we're not going to do anything about it. We're going to take it. Yeah, so that obviously contributes to your high fuel prices. Let's see how do U.S. fuel taxes compare to Canadian fuel taxes? AI, get to work. In general, Canadian fuel taxes are significantly higher than U.S. fuel taxes, while the U.S. federal tax is around 18.5 cents per gallon, with state and local taxes averaging about 35 cents per gallon, resulting in a combined tax of about 53 cents per gallon. Canada's gas tax rate is significantly higher. So 53 cents of what you pay for a gallon is tax. In Canada, they have all of these different taxes, federal, provincial, municipal, and combined. But it doesn't give you the figure, unfortunately. But it says it's significantly higher. But how much higher? How much higher?
It seems like you're paying almost, just from what I recollected from the chart, you're paying pretty much the same tax per gallon as we are per liter. It seems like it's roughly about that.
Yeah. Taxes compared with, if I could spell, that would help. U.S. fuel taxes. Let's see if AI could do something for us. 2.4 times higher.
Okay, so it's not exactly four times.
Yeah, well, it'll get there. So if you got 53 cents per gallon, then you've got, let's do a little math. All right, 0.53 times 2.4, that is about 46 cents more. Does that make sense? Hold on.
Well, there must be more price gouging here too, right? So if you consider all that, then that would be the difference in our price of gas.
Wow. Yeah, here it is. It's $1.27. Yeah, not counting the price gouging. $1.27 compared to 53 cents. So they tack on, divided by four, they tack on an additional 32 cents per liter. And compared to, divided by four, 13 cents. So it's almost, yeah, it's 2.5 times. So there you go. We got the answer. It took a little while, but we did it. How about that?
There's a lot of room for improvement in our country, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, you could your platform could just be gas prices. Okay, we got questions. Les, you ready?
I'm ready.
Shameless Wise Ass says times 3.67. We had those prices in the late 60s. Shameless says gas was $1.55. Is that Canadian? Until Carney suspended the carbon tax just before the election. Do you think that had to do with getting votes, Les?
Oh, I think maybe it did, Dave. We'll see how it goes in a couple more weeks. He might just jack those things back up again.
Thomas Dwyer asks, does Canada add ethanol to the gas?
We do. There's some stations that add it. I don't like it myself, but some people do add it. I try to avoid it.
You can get non-ethanol down here in Florida. It's significantly higher.
Yeah, I like the ethanol gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shameless says, yes, they do. So thank you, Shameless. Lisa from Germany. Good afternoon, gentlemen. No gentlemen here.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
Dave Gaharian gets Les Borey. All right. And saying hello to the other folks in there. Shameless says, because every province except Alberta has a sales tax, so they had to harmonize PST and GST. Thank you for harmonizing that. Burn Before Reading is driving to the airport. Hope my pilot isn't a DIE hire, right, instead of DEI. I hope that they are not. Maybe you could check, you know, just say, hey, I'd just like to, say hello to the pilot and take a look at the pilot. Am I allowed to do that? And see what they say, you know. Maybe they'll let you. Where are you flying from, Burn Before Reading? Okay, well, that was good. I mean, we learned a lot about it. And, you know, you don't want to get gas in Canada. If you're an American and you drive across the border, make sure you're filled up before you get there. Because why would you want to pay that much more money? You know, do you guys use Gas Buddy up there?
I don't even know what that is. Is that like is that a service where they tell you where the cheapest gas is?
Yes.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, people would put it on their phones. I guess there's an app, or you know, you can do a quick internet search before your trip, right? Which I do. You know, I always write down where we're gonna go. But it's easy now because, you know, we belong to Sam's Club, and Sam's Club generally has cheaper gas, and I don't have to really struggle like I used to for the cheapest gas wherever we're going. But it does vary dramatically from state to state. And like I said, 89 cents in New Jersey in the early 2000s, that was beautiful. And that's, you know, it should be that and much less. I think like the average, or at least it was, the average fuel cost in like a country, any of the countries that the axis of evil, you know, the Anglo-American Empire attacks, usually do well for their residents. But the average fuel price of in, for example, Venezuela. Average gas price in Venezuela. You ready?
What is it, 20 cents?
Per liter?
Yeah.
7 cents.
Wow, I knew it was low. That's just beautiful.
Yeah. 12 cents. Says this, that translates to about 12 cents per gallon. I don't know how, if 7 cents per liter, but it, maybe the AI is like on the fritz. But in some areas, it can reach $3 per liter there. But the average cost is 12 cents per gallon.
So we can go from 12 cents to $3?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess there's gouging everywhere. I mean, even here in the States, when they were having fun raping us with fuel prices, you could go from, $4 to $8, you know, especially like in, New York City. You know, I've seen it. It's like, holy shit, why is it $10 per gallon? When across the river in Jersey, it's much less. But yeah, that's huge. 12 cents compared to $3 per liter. So that's $12, right? So that's 100 times the cost. You just got to avoid this Delta Amacuro, whatever you do. But could you imagine if Venezuela, which the Anglo-American Empire hates, is giving their residents, their citizens, gas for 12 cents or even, let's say, 30 cents a gallon. Why is it so much higher here? And by you? We know
maybe
what
they take a lot more crap than they do.
No, we know why it is, because of the corruption. They're raping us.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Yeah. And they get away with it. And nobody says anything. Yeah, the prices are high, but we like that.
Yeah. And they always say, oh, the taxes go to a good cause. Yeah, sure they do.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. Thank like the lottery, right?
Yeah.
The lottery. How billions have gone to education. Yeah, we're the stupidest people on the planet behind Mexico. Yeah.
$2 a liter.
Yep.
Dumb.
Thomas Dwyer says, I run non-ethanol in my GTO. Oh, you got a goat? I got to see that. You know what? I'll drive my Mach 1 down there, Thomas. Oh. All right. Steve Evil is here. He says, morning, guys.
Morning, Steve.
I love that. Instead of boys, right? Shameless uses gas, buddy. Okay. Burn before readings in Cleveland. Ohio's not bad, I guess, for gas prices. I would ask to see that pilot though. If it's dark in the cockpit, I would go, hey, thanks. Geez, I gotta go. You know. Let's just take a look. Average gas price in, let's see, what's another country they hate? Well, they destroyed Libya. Let's take a look at Iran. Average gas price in Iran. 36 cents a liter, U.S. Okay. Let's look at Argentina. Well, that's expensive, $1 a liter. Let's take a look at Brazil. $1.12 a liter. So, oh, wait, here's all the countries. That's cool. Here, let's bring it up. Who would have ever thought we'd be talking about gas? How did we get on gas prices?
I don't know, Dave. I can't recall how we got on this thread.
I can't either. Okay, let's take a look. Indonesia.
Maybe because I mentioned they gouge us on long weekend because we started to talk about the Victoria Day long weekend in Canada.
Right.
Maybe that's how we got on.
Yes, yes. Indonesia, 60 cents. A liter, Saudi Arabia, 62 cents, Russia, 75 cents, United States, 84 cents, China, 85 cents. And you can see it goes over $1 a liter here. And Canada is 103, just as you said. And if we continue down to Singapore, that's almost $3. Look at that. Netherlands, Switzerland, Italy. They're getting raped in Europe. They got all that green shit in Europe. Yep. Europe is getting bent over. So there's the answer to the question. How about that? And this is recent. These are recent gas prices. So I guess we're actually, in a good position being where we are relative to the rest of the world. So they're raping, America's, but they're not raping that bad. Yeah, but I mean, Indonesia. But then again, they don't have, well, this is the, these are the G20 countries. So if we look at the world, right? So that's the group of 20 countries. I guess they are the industrialized countries, right? But if we look at the world, then we get a, an idea. Now look at this. Previous was 1 cent in Venezuela. Now it's 7. Kuwait, Egypt.
Inflation.
Yeah. Sure.
Bastards.
Sure.
700% increase.
Right. Look at this. All of the Gulf states, right? Very cheap. They got oil coming out their asses, right? And Malaysia, Bolivia, Qatar, Trinidad and Tobago, Indonesia, Oman, Saudi Arabia. So I guess what you might expect, Nigeria, Azerbaijan, Belarus, UAE, Puerto Rico, Vietnam, Russia. And there you go. Look at this. The United States pays more than Lebanon, which is destroyed by the kike. Paraguay. The United States pays more than Russia. Instead of people getting pissed off at the United States because the Russians pay less for gas. Holy fuck.
Jeez. Holy, well, there goes the Cold War. We lost.
Holy fuck. Let's go down. Let's see who's getting really raped. Hong Kong. Well, that's a little island, kind of. Singapore. Iceland. I guess it might cost a lot to bring it there. Netherlands. Holy shit. Look at that. Europe. Europe. Holy mackerel. Israel. Oh, that's right. They don't have any oil, right? That's why they want to take over certain countries, right? Well, there it is. In one fell swoop, Europe is being raped because probably all their green energy horseshit. And the winners are the Gulf states and even countries that we wouldn't expect. But Venezuela is clearly the winner, and that's what they want. They want Venezuela. They want to topple the leadership there, and they want to install the Jew World Order, obviously across the world. So this was good. I'm glad we went into that area. Excellent. Let's get back to the chat. Yes, go ahead, Les.
That was pretty interesting, Dave, I've got to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
We take some interesting inroads in this show, I'll tell you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, Lisa from Germany says, in Germany, the EU, we have a mineral oil tax, CO2 fraud related. Germany's CO2 tax set to rise again this year in December of 2024, I guess they said that. The CO2 tax is set to rise to 65 euros, $68 a ton in 2026, making the energy cost gap between Germany and other countries potentially unsustainable. Already, there is a growing dissatisfaction among German citizens and businesses as energy prices skyrocket. But will they do anything about it, Lisa? That's the question. Bushmaster 6A is here. He says, good day, gents.
Good day, Bushmaster 6A.
And Bushmaster gave you, Les, a $10 donation.
Well, thank you very much, Bushmaster 6A. Thank you.
Which you can use at the pump.
That's right.
You could put in a couple gallons.
That's right.
Yes.
Gotta feed the gougers. Yeah, well, then to start.
Yeah, no. Lisa asks, Burn Before Reading, are you a gambler taking chances? Won't you have a check, ask who the pilots are, or prefer Russian roulette? Exactly. I hope it's not, because we know what happens. Shameless says gas was 50 rubles a leader when I was in Russia 5 years ago. Let's just take a quick look here at what that is, okay? 50 rubles. More rubble for the ruble. Okay, the Russian ruble. Holy mackerel. You ready for this? 50 Russian rubles are 62 cents. So it was 62 cents a liter. So let's say $2.50 a gallon. And that's not bad. And then right now it is in Russia. Let's take a look again. Russia is 75 cents a liter. So it's gone up, you know, a little bit, right? 30%. That is a lot in 5 years.
Yeah, it was stupid in Canada, right, when that war started in the Ukraine. And for some reason, all of our gas prices went up. Like, we're buying, you know, a lot of oil from the Ukraine. Unbelievable. It's just, they'll tell us anything in the media. It's just, and then they reelect these people. It's just amazing to me.
That's, and that's the issue, I think, you know, that's really the main issue that we're dealing with. Because if you have, you know, designs on political office, which of course you do, these are the issues that you might want to, you know, latch onto, you know, like gas prices, like educate the electorate about, you know, how you're being raped with gas prices, and maybe put together like a list of all of the prices, the consumer prices, and how they've increased over the years. And you could even say, so you don't even have to talk about the Jew, right? You could say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, since the liberals or the conservatives have been in, did you know that your gas prices have increased by 300% or whatever it is? And, you know, by presenting this sort of, you know, stark information to the electorate, it might be a slap in their faces that might wake them up, and they might go, yeah, well, hey, did you know that I just found out from this candidate here, Les Borey, that we've been paying, you know, 300% more for gas since. So why would we vote for these assholes? I don't know. It's just a thought, Les. What do you think?
Exactly. I've been trying to point out to people that every single thing that happened in Canada is a result of a conservative or liberal government and their voters, right? The people that choose them to harm us. Every single thing since Canada's been confederated has happened because of these two parties.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you have like anything written out? Like in like a platform, or like you know, bullet pointed, so you could maybe make pamphlets and hand them out to folks. And
oh, sure. In jail, I put it in my books. I put the 10-point platform in the books, you know, and that's what I did. So I just I try to educate people on as to not only what's wrong with things, but how to fix things. Because anybody can tell you what's wrong, but to fix it is a different matter.
Right, right. That's true. But pointing out that, you know, these stark numbers might go a long way. Do you have those 10 points handy? Could you dig them up and we can go over them?
Well, I can
you can recall them from memory?
Sure, I'll try my best.
Is this in like ascending or descending order?
Pardon me?
Would this be like the most important to the least important, or the least important to the most important?
Well, I began with banking, which is pretty much the most important, right? So we'll change the banking system. That's the first thing we'll do. We won't charge interest anymore. And then we'll back our currency with labor to replace taxation.
Is that the first one, or those
that's,
two of them?
That's the first point.
Okay, so with the interest, do you have any numbers to show the goyim how much interest they pay on whatever it is that they're paying for?
No, but they can see what the bank rate is on a daily basis.
They can't see anything. They don't know anything. I mean, like a list that you can hold up to them and go, here, dummy, You know, this is
to
what
me,
you
the magic number is 6.5%, Dave. Because every time the interest rate hits 6.5%, your debt to the bank doubles over 25 years. So $100,000 house is going to cost you $200,000 plus a dollar. It always comes out that dollar after, right?
Okay.
So that's what people can, you know, can take something. They can take something from that, and then that would be like a real number they can use.
Right.
Engage, you know, what their home debt will be in the future, right? And so that's a significant number for people to understand that it's not 100% that your interest rate has to go up, but only 6.5% to double your debt load to the bank over time, right? So they'll know that. And then the second point was home ownership. So once we print our own money, we'll be in charge of that, but we'll also be in control of the debt at that point. Because when you print your nation's money, you don't just control the printing of the money, you control the debt as well. So then we'll reassess the property values for homes, and then they can, start paying lower prices for homes. Also, we'll assess the mortgage debt as well, so that people that pay over the asking price of the home, the new asking price, will only be liable for the actual value of the home, the new value of it. So some people will be homeowners overnight, Dave.
So do you have you put together maybe like flashcards for the goyim?
Not yet. They
could easily understand what you're saying? Well, because when you talk to goyim about, numbers, their eyes glaze over.
Right. So, you don't want to bore them with that. You're right.
Yeah.
We keep that to a minimum. Like the price of gas at 50 cents a liter, that's a pretty shiny number. I'll flash that around. That's not going to bore them too much. And that 6.5% figure, that's a very important milestone number. It lets people know that, they're going to be paying a lot more for their house than they could have imagined. You know, they think that maybe people that haven't had a mortgage before, they aren't aware of these things. You know, they figure, 6.5% is only maybe $6,500, not a $100,000 loan, right? But it's more than that, much more than that. So people need to know that.
So teaching them that in like a flashcard format, that's something that might make sense, right? Because
sure.
You know, also, like,
there are also 10 points, which are far too many points to really point out to people on a flashcard. You're probably going to want to limit your points to about three things.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about like separate flashcards, a flashcard for each point. Right.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That'll be
on a website, I would think.
Right. Exactly. So the first flashcard would be the 6.5%, right?
Yep.
And the next flashcard would be what? Printing your own money, or is that separate from that one, or is that?
Well, I probably, if we're talking in terms of how I present it to the public, I'd probably ask them if they'd like to print the world's most valuable currency to replace taxation. You know,
right?
And that just wipes out a lot of counter arguments to.
So that's number two, right?
Well, that would be number one if I was actually going to present this to the public. I'm just going through the platform points for you and for the people that are listening.
Right.
But to actually put this thing to words, that's a different matter. How we present it to the public is a different deal. I'm presenting it to the public now, but the way that I would present it would be a little bit different than just going like point by point by point. I think I'd make it more general. Because then people won't get so bored, like you say, you know, like they want to have a panoramic picture to look at, perhaps, to begin with, you know.
That might cause more confusion, because if the goyim is as stupid as I suspect, and unfortunately, I think I'm right, by giving them just simple, basic information, one at a time, like you said, you create a website, Les Borys 10-point plan to, put more money in your pocket or whatever it might be. Then I think that, the goyim will be more interested to say, oh, well, what's this guy saying here? He's got 10 points. He's going to put more money in my pocket. Right. I mean, because that's really what I think most goyim are. Most, goyim who, have somewhat of a brain are thinking of. How, like, I have to go to work, right? And I make money for my time, generally, right? And I want to have more money in my pocket. And this guy is telling me how to do that. That was what I was getting at.
Right. Like, that's basically, I just want to go, like, I'll probably highlight a few things that are costing people a lot of money, you know, it, like, in their everyday lives. And then we just attack those points, you know. But I would definitely start off by telling them that we're going to print the world's most valuable currency, and we're going to benefit from it in a way that most people would think is impossible. You know, I won't say that on there, but basically that's what we're getting at. Because right now we live in a world where we're just paying a lot of tax, Dave, and even the services that we're supposed to get for these tax dollars, we're not getting full value because a lot of our tax dollars are being diverted to the bankers right now, right? Because of the way that the government borrows money from them and has them print money for us, right? So basically, there'll be a big night and day difference if they choose us to leave the country. And we want to show them that, you know, we'll find the words to tell them that as well.
When are you going to start putting it together?
Well, I've already begun this. Basically, we're just getting people together. We're going to try and register this party. And then once we register it and have the paperwork filed, then we can start taking the next step to create a website. And that's what we'll do. All right. It's a requirement as well to create some kind of a media site. So who knows? Maybe I'll have a site on FTJ that just...
Oh, that'll be great for you. Yeah, political candidate Les Borey is aligned with Fuck the Jew media in the United States.
We're going to do a great thing, too.
Right, right. Make sure you vote for him.
So anyway, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, Goyim, yeah. If you're looking for somebody to vote for, we've got your candidate. Right. Shameless says that was about what's that?
He's definitely on your team, boys.
Oh yeah. Shameless says that was about $1 Canadian back then, 5 years ago in Russia. Lisa says, of course not. The I guess she's alluding to the people rebelling here. Of course not. The anti-German governments won't do anything against it. Deindustrialization of Germany is what the genocidal Jews want. Yeah, of course. Steve Evil says, here's some petro for you. Gas in the U.S. was 95 cents a gallon in February 92 and went to $5 in 2022. Wow. And Steve Evil gave you $14.88 less.
Oh, thank you very much, Steve Evil. Thanks, man.
Shameless says at the beginning of COVID's, gas went down to 62 cents a liter in Alberta.
Yeah, it was pretty low here as well in Ontario.
Do you remember what it was before COVID?
Ooh, it was before COVID. It was probably about $1.30. $1.25 around then back in the day. It's hit that number a few times over the last few years.
Lisa says, the Jews cry out in pain as they strike you. That's a Russian saying. Some people say it's a Russian saying or it's a Polish saying, whatever it is. Probably many countries said that because they noticed that behavior. The Jew-owned MSM, which generally stands for mainstream media, but Lisa calls it the main shit media. That's a good one. Cry out scandalous anti-Semitism. There was talk about boycotting Israel on German TV. That's the scandal. Some truth about the mass murderous Jews accidentally slipped out. Some criticism about the slaughter of the Palestinians by Israel and Gaza in all of Palestine since 1948 when Israel came into existence. Yeah, this, you know, I don't know if this is something that, you know, probably should be incorporated here. It probably should because we're seeing it. We're seeing the genocide play out live on television. And yesterday in the show I did with Mason, one of the stories was about how they bombed and destroyed the lives of another, I think it was 60 men, women, and children while they were in their tents or the rubble of their homes. They don't stop. And do you plan on highlighting the absolute inhumanity of this country and this race at all in your platform?
Huh. I did already. I basically said we're condemning their actions, you know, officially. If I become a member of parliament, I'll definitely be condemning Israel's actions for, you know, for this insanity. This is unbelievable what they're doing. It's the cruelest thing that I think we could ever witness in our time.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that because of what the powers who should not be did to you by kidnapping you in February of 2023 and then imprisoning you for about 2 years and doing all these hit pieces on you, do you think that this is something that politically you will be able to overcome? Like, for example, what they did to David Duke and what they do to David Duke with the Ku Klux Klan, right? He was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. They latch on that. And it's not just them, you know, I mean, they've obviously poisoned the minds of many Goyim. I was just, you know, communicating with one of these Goyim who I've known my whole life. And they, you know, regurgitate the Jews media talking points about individuals. Do you think you'll be able to overcome that, you know, in regards to the Canadian Goyim and have them take you seriously?
I would think so, yeah.
Have you thought about that?
Oh, sure. From the first time that I saw one of those hit pieces, I thought about it as well. It's just, you know, no, just give it time. Just that, you know, everything will come out in the wash, Dave. People will see what I'm like, and then they'll see what they're like. And then I think we're going to be doing pretty good after that.
But do you think that you will need to possibly address that in your presentations around the country or around the province to these Goyim initially to, like, maybe stem any concern, like address it first? You know, hey, the, you know, the powers who should not be have been trying to, well, they've been targeting me and they're trying to paint with this brush that I'm, you know, this or that, and I'm not. Have you thought about that? Like prefacing your platform delivery?
I can work into some talks, I'm sure, Dave, but I'm not too worried about that. You know, it's something really good is what I'm trying to do for the country, you know, and for the people of Canada. And if they don't see past it, then it's just what it is. We deserve to have happen what happens, you know. But if the people are intelligent enough to listen to me and to perhaps vote for me, which is what they really should be doing, then we'll win. And our lives will be a lot better because of what we've done, just for putting an X on a ballot. It's all people have to do, really, when you think about it. I'll be the one taking all the heat. I'll be the one that's in the most danger. I'll be leading my country the way a person should lead, from the front, and taking you know, most of the arrows myself. But basically, people need to help me to get into that position where I can actually help and do things for them.
Yeah, no, I'm with
you. Yeah, and if they choose to follow their hearts in the wrong direction, like be misled by the media and, you know, and react to all that inflammatory talk that they speak against me, then it's their own fault for, you know, not voting properly. The thing is, though, we'll all go down because of it, too, if we don't get enough people to change this thing, right?
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, it's required to, you know, speak the language of Goyim, right, in order to have them react. That's
right.
That's the – so if you talk
– I can make it a Talmud.
Well, no, I just mean that, you know, you've got to, you know, talk in very simple, you know, language to them, because obviously they get swayed by the Jews media, clearly, and they're going to believe that you are, you know, Hitler, and that, you know, you, because that's what they did. What they did was, in order to neutralize you, they painted you in their media as some sort of a genocider, because, and they even used that term, and they did it on purpose. So a lot of these goyim are going to be associating Les Borey's name with a genocider, and that was their whole plan. So that's why I'm saying, let me show you something.
We just survived the genocide, you know, the people that didn't get vaccinated, you know, and hopefully some of the people that did survived it as well. And, you know, it's just par for the course, you know. And once people realize what I was trying to prevent and stop and who the perpetrators of this genocide were, then, you know, the tables can turn pretty quickly.
Right, but that's the, but that's the point, having them realize, and that's what I'm getting to. Let me show you something Shameless put up. He says, you know that clown Piers Morgan?
Yes, yes, yeah. He interviewed Ye, or whatever his name is, Kanye. And then Kanye just walked off the set, which is pretty much the smart thing to do.
Well, Shameless says even Piers Morgan is noticing, and I'm going to put up this image that he put in the chat, okay? And this is, I guess, some sort of a tweet or whatever. Can you see that okay there?
Yeah, I see that, yep.
So can you read that?
He's saying it, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, can you read that?
Yeah, you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Out loud? It says, another day, another horrific massacre in Gaza. This cannot go on. Netanyahu is out of control and must be stopped.
And, of course, he's referencing the Sky News article where another 70 were massacred, and they hit another hospital, it looks like. They hit the European hospital the other day, and they hit another. So they're actually going after hospitals now. And
I saw on FTJ Media this morning, Dave, there was some footage. I don't know if it was Psychodrilla, but it showed people in a hospital burning to death, and they still had the IV hooked up to them.
Yep. So here's the thing, right? We know this because we're seeing it, right? Even though they say believe half of what you see and none of what you hear, you know, and there's AI and all bullshit out there. But this is real. We're seeing it. We're seeing what these inhumane creatures, some people call them demons, I think that's applicable, are doing to humans, because they're not human, and nobody can convince me that they are human. I'm sorry. So if you want to try to convince me, not you, but anybody, please do. I want to hear it. I'm all ears. I'll take off my headphones, and I will be all ears. But since we're dealing with the situation as it is now, and as you said, probably the most extreme real-time televised slaughter that we've ever witnessed in our lifetimes. Of course, if we could go back and see what they did to the Germans in World War II and after, we would see something very similar, obviously, and much worse on a much larger scale. Because if they have so far slaughtered, let's say, 100,000 innocent Palestinians, and maybe they got a few Hamas, you know, fighters who are just trying to get these motherfuckers out of their lives, which we should all, you know, try to do. They did that to tens of millions of Germans and hundreds of millions of white Christians during the last century. If we know this, and we do, and the absolute traitors in positions of power know this, and they do, and now, as Shameless points out, this talking head who has obviously evolved over the time that we've seen this piece of shit to the point now saying that this has to be stopped, which anybody with any shred of humanity, when they have seen this, they would be like, yeah, of course this has to be stopped. None of the politicians are saying this. Are you going to be making this a, like the main, one of the main points in your platform?
I certainly am, Dave. You know, the enemy's given us this weapon that they've created themselves, and we're definitely going to use it against them. There's no way I'm not going to use it. I've used it already. You know? Yeah, for sure I am. Like, I was convicted of, promoting genocide or advocating for genocide, and I didn't even say that every single Jew should be killed. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I mentioned that, I speak with some people here and there that help the cause, right? That one lady in particular. So what they did to me was pretty bad, to try to label me and make me look like something I'm not. But what they're doing in actual fact themselves is the real thing. And let them bring it on. We'll just be basically walking into their own trap at that point, Dave. You know what I'm saying? If they're going to accuse me of something that they're guilty of, and so obviously guilty, you know, from what we can see in the news, even on their news, they still can't hide it, even on their own news. You know, that's how bad it is. So this shouldn't be too much of a big deal for me to switch this around and, point their weapon back at them if they try to use it against me.
Now, I can't recall at the moment, but what is the length of time for an MP in office? How many years is that?
Generally, you can be reelected as often as you can. But basically, it's 4 years at a time. That's generally what our election cycle is now, kind of like Americans.
Well, so it's double what a Congress critter is, because they're 2 years. And senators are 6 years. So a Congress critter, as soon as they get elected, they need to start running for reelection, because you know how fast 2 years goes. So when do you think you're going to have your platform ready to go?
Oh, the platform's ready to go now. It's just organizing a party and then promoting that platform on a website, an actual party website. So we'll see how it goes.
I Love Jesus Christ says, it's naive to believe Jews allow the people to choose our leaders. Les?
So far, this person's correct, you know, and we'll see what we can do. Like I said, I'm just making an attempt to do this. I don't claim to, have the fix in where it's going to be a sure thing to win. But I'm definitely going to take this opportunity that I have to organize, hopefully, an overwhelming political force in Canada. We'll see how it goes. I realize how hard it is. I know this. But it has to be attempted. And I think I'm the guy that's going to be most suited to make this thing happen in a proper way, where we're going to be voting for real things in the future, not for a bunch of shills.
Not the bread and circuses, right?
Exactly, the real thing. You vote for me, you're voting for what I say. There's no two stories. There's only one way, and that's the way that I claim that I'll take this country in that direction.
Yeah, Shameless Wise asks, the stream quit for him. Anyone else? No, it's going good here. In fact, since we did that upgrade, I think it was last month. Yeah, it was last month. It doesn't buffer anymore. And anything that happens is on a regional level. So it might be your internet. I don't know why you had to sign out and back in again. Sometimes that does happen where you're forced to sign in again. That's something that I have to write down. Signed out, because there should be a way that you stay signed in, and I don't know why that happened. Oh, we'll get cracking on that. And Steve Evil says hospital equals Hamas base. Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, there's a lot of Hamas, so they're hiding in the hospitals, and you got them. Yeah, they had a knife. They ran out of bullets. Shameless says, my MP got elected twice. then didn't seek re-election last month because he got his gold-plated pension, and that's all he cared about. So, Les, in the United States, someone could be elected to the House of Representatives, let's say, because there's 435 of those creatures. There's a few who are cool, but for the most part, and that obviously can be evidenced by the response Netanyahu gets when he comes there. There's only a few now. MTG from Georgia, she's standing up. Thomas Massey from Kentucky, he's clearly not able to be bought out by the Kike, by the Kike money. In the United States, when a politician in the House of Representatives serves even one term, they get a golden parachute. They get to have a pension afterwards. Do you know how that is in Canada?
I think it's 6 years. You have to serve 6 years to get your pension. So a term and a half, I think it is.
And do you know what the pension is?
I don't know. I don't know if it's just your wages. Your member parliament's wages. I'm not sure.
For the rest of your life?
As far as I know, yeah.
So when you're a member of Congress in the United States, you get pension, health insurance, and what's called a member's representational allowance. They're also eligible for a death gratuity if they die in office, and not enough of them do. So members with at least 5 years of service are eligible for a pension. The pension is typically more generous than pensions offered in the private sector. Members can retire with a full, unreduced pension at age 62 with 5 years of service, or 50 years or older with 20 years of service, or at any age with 25 years of service. I hate to say that word, service, but that's the way it is here in the United States. The salaries and allowances they get obviously are significant. I think they make probably $150,000 a year, which doesn't go far. Even some of them end up sleeping in their offices because they can't afford to rent a place or to stay in a hotel, and that has happened. Let's find out what the U.S. Congress member's salary is right now. Yeah, it's $174,000 a year, and which has remained unchanged since 2009. So we're talking, obviously, 16 years. There's been no increase for inflation. Leaders in the House and Senate, such as Speaker of the House, Majority and Minority Leaders and Senate President earn higher salaries. Speaker of the House gets $223,500. House and Senate leadership get $193,400. Senate President pro tempore gets $193,000. A lot of these people don't need the money, obviously, because they're multimillionaires. Is that the same in your once great nation?
I'm not sure. I think a lot of these people come out of professions like, you know, some of them are lawyers, doctors, things like this. But there's people from all walks of life that become members of parliament as well. I don't see them as being millionaires when they start, a lot of these folks. But some of them might. Maybe the leaders do. Like Mark Carney was probably a millionaire, I would think, you know, before he became prime minister.
Yeah, close to a billionaire, right? I Love Jesus Christ says, thank you for being willing to try in the face of all odds.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. And you know, it's true. It is against all odds, but the odds are getting better, believe it or not. So this is a good time to be doing what we're doing.
Yes, I agree. Lisa from Germany says the Talmudic Jews demand the extermination of the white race of Amalek and of all non-Jews standing in their way and call it a religious duty. Yes, absolutely. So the reason that I'm bringing this up, Les, is because obviously I want you to succeed, clearly. So, you know, you're a great guy and you know what's right, but I want to make sure that I can do whatever I can so you're prepared for what's coming. And I know it's tough. Obviously, you just spent 2 years in the Gulag and, you know, you're back on your feet here and you still have that shit hovering over you, right? They're still trying to resentence you, right?
Yeah, they want to put me in jail for 7 years for speech violations, these terrorists, right? And they may do it. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, I didn't kill anybody with the vaccine. And the people that did are the ones that are enforcing and, you know, making this happen.
Well, you didn't kill anybody, period. You didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah. These people, the police and the politicians and their influencers are responsible for killing a lot of people with vaccines. The only question is it in the thousands or is it the millions?
So right. Right. It's probably in the millions, but it seems like even that is not enough to wake the goyim. And we talked about this at length in a previous show. You know, the polls that were taken about COVID, about the trucker convoy. And that's why I keep going back to this, that it's going to, I think, take a lot to wake them up. And, you know, by merely presenting facts to them, shocking facts, right? That, hey, you know, you're getting screwed. Look, you're taking home much less. You know, even that isn't enough to wake them up. Yeah, they're upset about the excise taxes on fuel, you know, on the federal down to the local level, but they're not doing anything about it. And again, we talked about this and we talked about the general level of, you know, laissez-faire attitude from the goyim in Canada, which it seems like it's much more, they're much more laid back in Canada than they are here in the United States. Do you agree with that?
It's possible. So far we're living under the same conditions though, right? So we've got the same result in both countries. You've got a bit better a constitution, we'll say. You've got some more speech rights than we do, and you've got your gun rights that are being eroded away as we speak as well, but you still have better gun rights than we do in Canada. Other than that, though, the people are pretty much as brainwashed as they are here, I think, right? It's amazing to see people that are still arguing as to who's better, Democrats or Republicans, when they're basically the same thing. They work for the same people. And they share that common bond of propping up Israel. And the same thing here, no matter what you vote for, there's one common bond, and that's they prop up the Zionist country of Israel. They're the nation state of Israel. And, you know, that should indicate to people that maybe someone, a third party, is running our country.
It's not right, but that's my point. It doesn't. You know, that's the issue. You know, they're calling you a genocider when, in fact, ironically and sadly, they are the genociders. They're
that's
enabling
how I
the genocide.
Saw things too. Yes,
right.
And the jury disagreed with me, but you know.
That's to be expected.
I mean, that's up to them.
Well, I mean, but yeah, that is on them and that is up to them. But these are the goyim that you have to convince to vote for you.
Most certainly, Dave. But I'm going to try to unite the nation around money. And everybody likes money. And it shouldn't be too hard to at least get their attention. Well, they'll look at what I'm saying. And, you know.
Well, we got to find out.
Yeah. And I hope that it discredits the enemy at that point when they see how badly they're being pillaged over here for no reason at all. And then they see someone who's going to, you know, straighten things out for them if they help. Then these things, this might be the thing to wake them up a little bit. I don't expect miracles overnight, but a long-term miracle I can see happening.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But let's say that you don't, you know, and I want you to get hired. I want to stop doing these shows, you know, because I want you to get hired because you need to obviously work, you know, as most white folks do. But if you don't get a job next Friday, could you put together the first flashcard?
Sure, I'll do that.
All right. So the most important point, right, in a flashcard, right, doesn't have to be fancy, just the points, and then we can go over it. And then, you know, talk about it, have the members of the audience, you know, give their feedback about it, and maybe build your 10-point platform, you know, right here on the show and fine-tune it. What do you think?
Sounds good. What I might do then, if we want to get a little fancy, is just so the people on the other side there that are watching can see what we're doing to follow us, maybe I'll put it into some kind of a primitive Word document, then I'll be able to access it and, you know, share the screen with people and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Okay. Something like that. Yeah, for sure.
I'll just turn it, you know, my way where you got to hold it up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could be that too. I mean, anything, no, right?
We'll do it a little bit more sophisticated. Like,
sure, right? Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Lisa from Germany says, obviously, they do not feel the pain. They do not care much for others. And it has to get a lot worse for them to wake them up to reality. And most will never wake up. Les?
Well, it's hard to say what the future's going to bring. If you judge people by their past performance, yeah, they're not easy to wake up, these folks. You know, it's like trying to wake up Lazarus, you know, if you're not Jesus. Hard move. Right? Yeah.
Right. So that would be good, you know, having that flashcard and going over the flashcard with the members of the audience, because I'm sure that they all want you to win as well. I know they do.
So, yeah, I believe they do. And, I certainly want the people to win as well, especially around the world, you know, like not just Canadians and Americans, but everybody. You know, if we do pull this off, Dave, it could be a turning point in world history just by setting an example.
Absolutely. Do you know if television time is guaranteed to Canadian political candidates?
Not at all. Nope. There's no guarantees in that Zionist communist media, except the fact that they're going to lie to us and try to Judas goat us into the wrong place. You know, that's what they're going to do. Yeah, that's the only guarantee in Canada.
Okay. So in other words, there's like for like debates here in the United States, they regularly exclude what might be considered to be populist candidates. You know, you would be considered a populist candidate, right?
I would think. Yeah. They had a shill here. His name is Maxime Bernier. That's my opinion of him. And he used to be a conservative, and they wouldn't let him on national TV either. But I think it was just to try and garner some support for him through the back door to make it look like he's the non-corporate choice, you know, the non-Zionist, whatever. But he was on Tucker Carlson as well. So his credibility is pretty much gone just for being on his show. So
Maxine, that's a man, you said?
Maxime, I think. Maxine? No, Maxine with an N, I think. Yeah, Maxime Bernier. Yeah, not Maxime, because Maxime would be a woman, I think. Maxime.
Yeah, well, it depends. Nowadays, yeah. Right? So this is the guy you're talking about. Yeah, with an M, Maxime, yeah. Bernier. So let's take a look here. All right, is that coming out pretty good? It's
yeah, it is. Yeah,
large enough. There. Okay. Maxime, and I don't know how to say that, but French, right? Born in 1963, founder of the PPC, the People's Party of Canada, formerly a member of the Conservative Party. He left in 2018 to form the PPC. He was an MP from 06 to 19 and served as a cabinet minister in the Harper government. Now, where is he right now? Like,
he's unelected right now. He came in fourth in his in his election campaign, right? So he's a party leader. He's a former member of parliament. He used to work with the governing party, the Conservatives, with Stephen Harper. And, you know, he quit the party after he lost the leadership bid. And basically now he's just trying to do something. I don't even know, because basically that party was created, I think, by a government agency, you know, the Canada Incorporated. There's some paper here on it. Basically, I've got some information on that. But basically, the Canada's KGB, like I mentioned before, the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service, made way for him. They cleared out an office for him to use for Canada Incorporated to start this party. So, you know, right there, just it looks like a bunch of crap. And even if it was legitimate, I mean, if you look at his past record, his legislative record, it's terrible, you know. He was working with Stephen Harper and Mark Carney in 2008 when Mark Carney was the Bank of Canada governor and he bailed out the banks. But they all said, oh, the banks weren't bailed out. No, no, no. We have the best banking system in the world. So these people in Canada that aren't, you know, too knowledgeable, they're echoing this sentiment like, oh, well, Stephen Harper's a genius. He's an economist. We have the best banking system in the world thanks to this conservative government that, you know, bailed the banks out for $235 billion.
And did they convince the goyim of that?
For a while, then Trudeau got in 2015. So 7 years later, the government changed, right? So, yeah, they'll believe anything for a while. That's the thing, Dave. They'll believe anything for a while.
Right.
But, like, our side, Dave, we don't lose people. We only gain people here. Because once people find out someone lied to them and they see that we're telling them the truth, generally, we don't lose our folks. They do.
Right.
Their echo chamber is shrinking. Ours is growing. Just like in the courtroom. You know, the judge says that, oh, you know, you've committed a crime against all of Canada or something to that effect. Every Canadian was harmed by what you did. And then a short time later, I spoke at a gathering of Canadians that were proving the judge wrong because they liked what I did. You know, they liked that I spoke out.
Right. No, I'm with you. Les, could you read those two paragraphs there where it says, starting with Bernier Ran?
It's pretty small, Dave.
Oh, that's weird. Hold on a second. Huh. Let me take a look. Oh, I know why. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Les.
Oh, Bernier ran for the Conservative Party leadership in the 2017 leadership election. His campaign garnered significant media attention, mainly due to its libertarian platform, which promised to end corporate welfare, eliminate the capital gains tax, and abolish supply and management in the Canadian dairy industry. After leading eventual winner Andrew Scheer through 12 rounds of voting, he came second with over 49% in the 13th round. 15 months later, in August 2018, Bernier resigned from the Conservative Party to create his own party, the People's Party of Canada, citing disagreements with Scheer's leadership. He lost his parliamentary seat in the 2019 election to Conservative Richard Lahoux, ending parliamentary representation of the PPC. Since then, he has unsuccessfully run for election in several ridings, including Beauce in 2021 and 2025. In addition to taking economic libertarian positions, he opposes mass immigration to Canada, proposes repealing the Multiculturalism Act, supports more restrictions on abortion, and rejects the scientific consensus on climate change. During the COVID-19 pandemic in Canada, he opposed mandatory vaccinations, public health measures, and attended many anti-lockdown protests. He was arrested for violating public health orders at a gathering in Manitoba.
Okay, so you would most likely agree with a lot of his positions, right?
In general, yeah, but I'm not like he opposes mass immigration to Canada, but he still wanted to let 175,000 people in here a year after that, if I'm not mistaken, which is ridiculous.
When did the intelligence community create this guy? What was that year?
Well, it said that 2018 he resigned, right? So it would have been after that.
Okay. So this guy probably would be worth studying, you know, as far as like, it seems like he, you know, has all of these points, these bullet points that, you know, besides letting more in, you would probably agree with, right? The, so it garnered significant media attention, right? He promised to end corporate welfare. You want to do that. Eliminate the capital gains tax. You probably want to do that. Abolish supply management, whatever that entails, in the Canadian dairy industry. He was leading through 12 rounds. Then all of a sudden, he didn't win. He came in, 12 rounds isn't enough. He was winning. Then all of a sudden, he didn't win. He created a new party. He lost his seat. The intelligence creatures came and propped him up. What'd you say? Gave him his own office? Sent him up in his own office, right? So, yeah. Like, controlled opposition, right?
Yeah.
And he couldn't even win in his own riding, right? And right. He opposes mass immigration. He wants to repeal them. We're going to get into this Multiculturalism Act. I know I said that I had to leave early, but I think this conversation is important to continue, and I'll just have to ramp up what I'm doing after this, if that's okay, Les.
Sure, Dave.
I want to get into the Multiculturalism Act because it's shocking that these scumbags even have something like that, actually named that. Supports restriction on abortion. Rejects the climate hoax. Opposes mandatory, they're not vaccinations, but those things. Public health measures. He actually went to these anti-lockdown protests and he was arrested. So this is all good. This checks off a lot of boxes, but he's still lost. Do you think that this fella, his record here, or the history of what happened to him, do you think he's worth studying in regards to your campaign?
Not really, no. Just he wants to bring in a gold standard too, right? So which is entirely ridiculous.
Well, I mean, just in general, how he was responded to by the goyim. That's what I'm getting at. In other words, he had all these populist messages, all of these points on his platform. Yet, if we're to believe that the elections are legitimate, which they're not, obviously, because how could you lead through 12 rounds of voting and then all of a sudden lose? Right when it's important to win, right? So it's all bullshit. It's all rigged. The intelligence community obviously has their hands in all this in your country and this country. It's not your country, but you know what I mean. In Canada and the United States, they did the same thing to Jesse Ventura when I interviewed him years ago. He told me he had just won the governorship in Minnesota. And he was away, outside of the mansion doing something. I can't remember what it was he was doing. But his chief of staff called him and said, Governor, get back here. There's a bunch of people who want to talk to you. I don't know if I ever told you this story. But
no.
So he gets back to the mansion. And down in the basement, there's 30 or so individuals who want to talk to him. And they were from the CIA. And they wanted to know, their main question was, how did you get elected without us knowing about it? And he said the scariest thing was that when looking around the room, all of these folks could have been your next door neighbor. They didn't stand out at all as spooks. So in regards to what this guy went through and being supported by the spooks, do you think that the reaction of the goyim to somebody like this, whose platform is probably closer to yours than any other prominent politician in Canada, do you think it's worth studying the reaction of the goyim to this guy, even though it's rigged, to see if you can fine-tune your approach to the goyim?
Well, I don't know. This guy might be a controlled opposition in the eyes of the goyim already. You know, maybe they figured it out, a lot of these people, and they just want to vote for the other evils. You know, I don't know what they're thinking about when they don't vote. I know some people that voted for him, You know, and I know people that voted for the old Conservative Party as well. And I don't think, you know, he's captured the people's imagination as being the savior, the legitimate person who's going to help them, you know, live better and live safer. They don't see it in him, you know, and I don't see it either. I'm suspicious. I think he's controlled opposition like the rest of them are. And I think a lot of people are just ignoring this guy. And luckily that's the case as well, because he's not going to do anything much different than the other guys have. You know what I mean? Like, I know what he states here, but the fact that he hasn't touched banking indicates to me that this guy is definitely one of the lads when it comes to being a communist, right? If you don't want to get rid of the communist banking system, you got mental problems. And this fella hasn't even talked about that. You know, he just wants to bring back a gold standard, which is what the globalists are talking about when it comes to their 15-minute cities and things like that, where every nation is going to have a finite amount of gold to fight over, and that's all the wealth that they get. And they can only print currency against that amount of gold. So bringing back the gold standard pretty much plays right into the hands of the WEF and their future plans for the world. I think you're muted.
Thank you, Les. So you don't find any value in studying the Goyim reaction to this guy. Okay, let's take a look.
You know, as much as you know, Dave, but as far as me, like, following in this guy's footsteps, I don't think so.
No, I didn't mean that. I just meant to see how the Goyim reacted to him. Because apparently the Jews media worked, again, with the Goyim. Let's take a look at this. Like I said, it's incredible that it's even called that. Obviously, they planned this out. The Canadian Multiculturalism Act. Were you aware of this? This actual act itself?
Not the actual act, no.
Okay. Let's take a look at this.
I know there's a policy in place, but I wasn't sure it was actually named this.
So you were 19 when this was passed.
Yep. And, yeah, 18. Yeah.
Eight. Okay. You were born in 69, right?
Yep.
Okay. So this was passed, well, July of 88. So yeah, 18. Thank you. So 18, you're 18 years old when this was passed. I'm sure a lot of Canadians are unaware of this act, or even the fact that it's named this, which is holy fuck, right? Aims to preserve and enhance cultural diversity, i.e. multiculturalism in Canada. This is a very short entry. Les, would you mind reading?
Sure. On 8th October 1971, Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau declared in the House of Commons of Canada that after much deliberation, the policies of bilingualism and multiculturalism would be implemented in Canada. In other words, the government of Canada would recognize and respect its society, including its diversity in languages, customs, religions, and so on. According to Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada, in 1971, Canada was the first country in the world to adopt multiculturalism as an official policy. One result of this policy statement was the Canadian Multiculturalism Act of 1985. In 1982, multiculturalism was recognized by Section 27 of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and the Canadian Multiculturalism Act was subsequently enacted by Prime Minister Brian Mulroney.
Can you keep going?
Sure. The details. The preamble of the Act declares that whereas the Constitution of Canada provides that every individual is equal before and under the law and has the right to the equal protection and benefit of the law without discrimination, and that everyone has the freedom of conscience, religion, thought, belief, opinion, expression, peaceful assembly and association, and guarantees those rights and freedoms equally to make male and female persons. The multiculturalism policy allows citizens to practice their religions and keep their identities without the fear of persecution. It is believed by some that without this fear, Canadians are more willing to accept different cultures. The policy therefore emphasizes a mutual respect between ethnicities and also acceptance of one's personal beliefs. This policy guarantees equality before the law and for pursuing opportunities, whether personal, career, or in any other field. This means anyone of any race or ethnic origin is capable of pursuing his or her interests without persecution. Canadian law, as a result, reflects many of those rights and belief as they guaranteed to all men and women. All these rights are guaranteed in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is part of the Canadian Constitution. The Parole Board of Canada writes that the Act has two fundamental principles. All citizens are equal and have the freedom to preserve, enhance, and share their cultural heritage. Multiculturalism promotes the full and equitable participation of individuals and communities of all origins in all aspects of Canadian society. The Act binds the federal government and its institutions to encourage, facilitate, assist, and undertake several high-minded goals. The minister may also enter into agreements with provincial and foreign governments to promote these goals. Other ministers may enter into agreements with the provinces. The Canadian Multiculturalism Advisory Committee is established in Section 7, and the minister is charged with the annual composition of a report on the operation of the Act. The Canadian Multiculturalism Act affirms the policy of the Government of Canada to assure that every Canadian receives equal treatment by the government, which respects and celebrates diversity. The Act also recognizes Canada's multicultural heritage and that this heritage must be protected. Recognizes Aboriginal rights, recognizes English and French remain the only official languages, but that other languages may be used. Recognizes equality rights regardless of race, religion, etc. Recognizes minorities' rights to enjoy their cultures. Section 3, subsection 1 of the Act states, it is hereby declared to be the policy of the Government of Canada to A, recognize and promote the understanding that multiculturalism reflects the cultural and racial diversity of Canadian society and acknowledges the freedom of all members of Canadian society to preserve, enhance, and share their cultural heritage. B, recognize and promote the understanding that multiculturalism is a fundamental characteristic of the Canadian heritage and identity, and that it provides an invaluable resource in the shaping of Canada's future. C, promote the full and equitable participation of individuals and communities of all origins in the continuing evolution and shaping of all aspects of Canadian society, and assist them in the elimination of any barrier to that participation. D, recognize the existence of communities whose members share a common origin and their historic contribution to Canadian society and enhance their development. E, encourage that all individuals receive equal
treatment. Sorry, ensure. E is ensure.
Yes. E is ensure that all individuals receive equal treatment and equal protection under the law while respecting and valuing their diversity. F, encourage and assist the social, cultural, economic, and political institutions of Canada to be both respectful and inclusive of Canada's multicultural character. G, promote the understanding and creativity that arise from the interaction between individuals and communities of different origins. H, foster the recognition and appreciation of the diverse cultures of Canadian society and promote the reflection and the evolving expressions of those cultures. I, preserve and enhance the use of languages other than English and French while strengthening the status and use of the official languages of Canada. And J, advance multiculturalism throughout Canada in harmony with the national commitment to the official languages of Canada.
Thanks for reading, Les. What do you think?
You're welcome. That's bullshit. Basically, it's supposed to protect all of our rights, but white people don't have the same labor rights that other people do. And when it comes to expressing ourselves, I'm not allowed to disagree with, we'll say, Zionists or even Jews about World War II history and the people that they've influenced to make these laws, if they in fact influenced them to do so. Right? So I'm not allowed to express myself, but other people are.
So it seems like multiculturalism was codified in what used to be your country, because it's not anymore, beginning in the early 1970s with Pierre Elliott Trudeau. Is that the father of the creature who just left?
It is, if it isn't Fidel Castro. So we'll say that's
right,
his father.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Right. And it kind of does look like him, at least in that picture. And a couple of other creatures like Brian Mulroney. I think he was around when Reagan was around. He was. So
yeah, they had the Shamrock Summit.
Right. I think it's pretty clear that the, if you want to call them global elite, whatever you want to call them, global scumbags, traitors, white traitors, that they have been influenced by the individuals and groups, and we know who they are, who promote multiculturalism. In fact, they even use that term in this act. And this is an act that was passed by the Parliament of Canada. Now it's 2025, so we're talking over 50 years ago that they began this assault on white Canadians. And I doubt if maybe more than 1%, if that, of white Canadians are aware of this act. Would you agree?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the act.
The act itself.
As most people, I think, are aware of the official policy, Dave, but the actual act, maybe you're right about that.
Yeah. So does this, for you, change the way that you might approach the Goyim?
No. Not at all.
Do you think it makes sense to point this act out in one of the flashcards?
Well, I do when it comes to the employment aspect of things, Dave. I believe in equal rights for all people, no matter where they're from, to work in Canada, as opposed to laws that discriminate against white people, right? And that's how we're going to get around this. We're just going to give white people equal rights in Canada is what we're doing. It sounds almost like something Martin Luther King would have done back in the day for the black people. But in Canada right now, this is what we need. We actually need like civil rights marches to bring equal rights to whites. It's insane.
It is. Mm-hmm. Alter Lawn says, hail chat, Dave and Les.
Hello, Alter Lawn.
Lisa from Germany says, Multiculturalism Act, UN-EU Replacement Migration Pact equals white genocide systematically planned, put into law. Yep, clearly. Shameless says, and now Jesse Ventura, real name George Janos, sold out pushing vaccines. Altered Lawn says, yeah, is it actually called the multiculturalism actually, or is that sarcasm? No, it's unfortunately, it's real. Lisa from Germany says there is no scientific consensus on climate change. It's phony science. The real scientists have long debunked the alleged climate change by CO2. They are silenced. The climate gets manipulated by weather warfare. Lots of patents are proof of that. It's U.S. military operations no longer secret, artificially causing unnatural disasters, warlike destruction. It's war on the white race. The U.S. and the EU NATO nations are being targeted, of course. Altered Lawn says, if we don't start figuring out how to effectively fight back, we're in real trouble. Les?
He's absolutely correct, or that person is. Basically, that's why I'm trying to do what I'm trying to do. I know it's a long shot to do it, but it's our only shot, really. I don't see any other national movement that's going to make anything change. So hopefully what we're trying to do here will bring a change. We'll see what happens.
Shameless Wiseass says they pass this shit and don't tell anybody. There is no mutual respect. They fucking hate us. Unless you're white. Altered Lawn says, for the fight, God bless. And Altered Lawn gave you $14.88, Les.
Oh, thank you very much, Altered Lawn. Thanks. And yeah, we're going to advance the line. We're not going to just let it sit there. We're going to get it going. We'll see what we can do.
But I think what he said was, like I said, he or she, but I think it's a he, but I could be wrong. If we don't start figuring out how to effectively fight back, we're in real trouble. And that was really the crux of, you know, what I was bringing up as far as like the flashcards and, you know, now the Multiculturalism Act, that I think that, you know, like Alder Lawn said, we need to figure out how to fight back, because over 50 years ago, they had put this into action. And you can bet that it was longer than 50 years ago that the eternal enemy was influencing, in this case, the Canadian government to pass such a dystopic law, the Multiculturalism Act, that has existed for that long and that I'm sure very few Canadians are aware of. And so my whole point is we've got to organize and we've got to codify, you know, our positions and take it from there. That's really what I wasn't trying to grill you, Les. I know you know that. But
no, it's all part of the game, Dave. It's all part of the thing. You know, like there are hard questions to answer in politics, and I'm willing to answer them as best as I can, right? So that's what it is. I appreciate the help. If people never doubted me or if people never disagreed with me, Dave, I'd never be as good as I am now at defending my position on things. So just keep it coming, and it's all part of the learning curve. And, you know, maybe I've got ready-to-go answers for some of the questions now.
Right, exactly. It is already 1 minute past 11 Central Time, so we've gone a little bit over 2 hours, and that's great. It was a great show. I hope you enjoyed it, you and the audience. And we're going to go, and next week, if you don't get that job, it's flashcard time, baby.
I'll get it ready just in case. Don't worry.
Just get number one ready. All right?
I'll get it.
All right, Les. Thanks, buddy. Great seeing you.
Have a good day, Dave. You too, eh?
Have a great Victoria Day weekend, and don't drink too much, or maybe you should drink too much after this show, right?
Yeah, I don't drink a whole lot. I might try a little bit tomorrow, but we'll see.
Toss back a couple of brews. All right, Les. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Good day to everybody. Good day to you, Dave. All right,
thank
see you, guys.
Les. Thank you, Les, and thanks to the audience. And we'll see you. Today's Friday. Shows are coming up. G-Man's coming up in about an hour. And then tomorrow I'm back on with Johnny, who's going to take the next, section of his travels. He's visited 101 countries. And we talked about the hitchhiking on the first show. Did you happen to see that, Les?
I caught minutes of it, not much.
Right.
So,
good stuff.
I like the title. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about his next trip, I guess, his next full-fledged trip. Before there were DEI or DIE pilots. So have a great weekend, everyone. Les, we'll see you next Friday, hopefully.